This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Four games in the NHL tonight, and three teams are on home ice trying to keep their seasons alive: Ottawa, Minnesota, Colorado. There is one team that has a chance to wrap it up on home ice. That is Edmonton at home to LA. Speaking of home, the Bandits are home tomorrow. It is game one of the National Lacrosse League semifinals, and they will quickly play game two against Vancouver on Sunday on Canada's West Coast. But tomorrow night, 7:30, Banditland, bandits.com/tickets. We'll see you there as Buffalo continues its quest for a three-peat. Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN, with us now. Dregs, what's on your mind on this day of four games, but also seemingly infinite coaching openings across the league?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the obvious, and that's staying in tune with what's going on the ice in round one of the playoffs, I mean, there's just a ton from a coaching perspective. You know, how many vacancies do we have? Eight? Mm-hmm. You know, teams that are in the market for an NHL head coach. I mean, talk about a fickle industry where you go in knowing that you've been hired to be fired. And some guys like Mike Sullivan have a longer shelf life than most because of the success that he enjoyed in Pittsburgh. But, you know, now you look at, so the elimination of the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, could John Cooper pop out into the market? I saw some speculation that connected Cooper to the possibility of Utah because of maybe a personal relationship. I don't get that sense that that connection is real. And if, and this is capital IF, if John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning decide that it's time, right? Like he's squeezed every drop of juice out of that organization. And maybe he believes that, you know, from an organization, from a player's standpoint, they need a different voice, which could be valid. That might be fair. My sense is from people I trust that, you know, he wants to be in a real hockey market, maybe even a traditional hockey market. So what does that look like, right? Because people want to connect automatically. Well, hey, hold on. You know, Mike Sullivan in the Pittsburgh Penguins had a mutual parting of the ways. Like Sullivan has made enough money historically in his career that he probably doesn't have to work. But who leaves $10, $11 million on the table? It just doesn't happen. So Mike Sullivan's going somewhere. And again, it seems likely that the New York Rangers would have interest. So there are potentially two big fish in that pond. And we haven't even talked about the possibility of Rick Tocchet, where he might resurface. So take me anywhere you want to go, Duffer, and
I could answer the question about who leaves money on the table. His name is Patrick Berglund, but that's another story for another day.
So. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Oh, you're going back to the very tough moment.
All part of Sabres Live, baby.
I know, exactly. Hey, Dregs, because we're talking coaches and changes and all of that, and last week we discussed the Sabres, and you know, at that time, Kevin Adams still hadn't met with Terry Pegula. I don't think so. Where are we at with that now? Like, they met. Where is it going? Because we've not. It's been crickets in Buffalo for the last week.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, still a lot more questions around the Buffalo Sabres from a media perspective, and likely from a fan standpoint as well. More questions there are answers. What I can tell you is that the meetings between Pegula and Kevin Adams have happened. They've taken place this week. Now, what does that mean in terms of a long-term future for Adams, what his role is moving forward? don't know. Nobody's willing to go into that realm just yet, or potential roster changes. I mean, you know, again, we've talked enough about the Buffalo Sabres over the course of a real troubling year yet again as to the improvements, the players who could be in play, all of that. But aside from hearing from Adams and Lenny Ruff at the end of the year in their media availability, we haven't learned a whole lot more. And unfortunately, I'm not in a position today to say that here's what I know Adams is thinking. The only thing I know is that those meetings took place between ownership and Adams and that Sabres management group this week.
And one of the things that we hear a lot is the influence of Lindy Ruff, right? A veteran guy that has been around, is now, you know, was in Buffalo as a player, a coach, went on to Dallas and assistant in New York and, you know, New Jersey and all of it, comes back. Do you feel like there's other person of influence that could be part of the discussions? I have heard Kenny Holland's name being thrown around, but there's, you know, do you think there could be other people of influence that are being asked about right now?
Now, I mean, how can there not be? At least having internal conversations doesn't mean you act on them. I've heard the same rumor. You guys have read and seen the speculation around Kenny Holland. Do I think that Ken Holland might have some interest in a higher level job with the Buffalo Sabres? Yeah, I think he does. But I could also say that to probably three or four other teams around the National Hockey League, because I know that Holland wants to get back in. Does he still feel like he's got the energy and the drive to be a general manager? I'd have to leave that up to him. Or is he more comfortable looking at what other clubs have embraced over the years? Like you see the Kent Hughes, Jeff Gorton situation in Montreal. You know, that becomes more and more real. Cam Neely and Don Sweeney in Boston. I mean, go down the list. There's a number of teams. Yeah. And it feels like that could be the better fit. But no one that I trust in Buffalo, and I will say this emphatically, Ken Holland has not said to me directly, or those close to Kenny haven't said this to me, that he's got an eye on the Buffalo Sabres. But it does make some sense, right? It does make some sense.
Because we started with Tampa and John Cooper and mild speculation as far as his future, Marty suggested yesterday that maybe, depending on how this first round goes, if teams are on the wrong side of it, they too could look at a change, which is surprising sometimes when your team has made the playoffs.
Sure.
But let's focus on LA, because Marty brought it up yesterday, and the availability of other people out there. Like, do you think it's possible LA could make a quick move here if they fall in four straight to the Oilers after leading 2-0?
Yeah, I mean, not impossible, right? You know, that ownership in LA is no different than the majority of owners in the National Hockey League. They invest big bucks and they expect a return. And there was so much promise in the Los Angeles Kings, you know, based on the ads, based on especially Darcy Kemper. I mean, the goaltending in Los Angeles this year has been terrific. It was good the other night, and they still end up losing to the Oilers. And now that momentum shift is real. And the problem that are the concern I would have if I were LA is, all right, this is the same type of team and push in Edmonton that they experienced last year. Not the same play. They don't have the same speed in their lineup in Edmonton, but you know what I'm getting at, right? Like, eventually their top dogs find a way to take over, and some of their support guys have emerged as well. So I guess the answer, Duffer, to the question is, could Jim Hiller be in danger? Why not? I mean, I think of the Vegas Golden Knights and how Gerard Gallant was a decent coach in Vegas.
Of course.
You know, he was kicked aside because Pete DeBoer was available. You know, I think I may have said this last week, Drew Bannister in St. Louis, pretty good coach until all of a sudden Jim Montgomery is available. So if somebody as significant as John Cooper is actually willing to consider leaving, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you consider it? With all due respect to Jim Hiller, anybody. But I, you know, when you're looking at coaches of that ilk, and Sullivan deserves to be in that. And look, even though we in the media want to align Sullivan to the New York Rangers just because of the language used, the parting of the ways, there's got to be a deal cooked. He's got lots of interest. It's not just the New York Rangers. So I'm sure that Rob Blake in LA will be respectful of the process. They're still in the series, but if they get dispatched here, I think anything is possible.
Well, real quick, where's the best fit for Peter Laviolette? given what we know historically Laviolette can do in the first year with a franchise.
Right.
Like, the Kings are aging, are they not? Like, how much more are you squeezing out of Kopitar? So, is Laviolette a fit? Because Rutherford mentioned him in Vancouver, of course, two days ago.
Yeah.
Just because it was asked in the context of, like, older coach, young coach, whatever. Like, could he go coast to coast here?
Well, I, because of what you said and the fact that they are an aging team, it does make some sense. And the conversation that I had with Jimmy Rutherford after the news broke that you know, Tuck had decided he wasn't coming back, he described to me, and I think he did mostly to the media, being a bit more specific with me in saying that the candidate to succeed Rick Tuckett, we want to look us in the eyes. And that's Rutherford, and that's general manager Patrick Galvin, and understand that you've got to be of certain character. You have to have a certain demeanor, and you most definitely have to have a thick skin, because coaching in this market is difficult. Mm-hmm. It is. It's tough coaching in a Canadian market, period. But for whatever reason, maybe it's just the disappointment and the roller coaster ride that the Canucks have been over the last number of years. It just seems to amplify in Vancouver above all. That sounds to me like an experienced coach. And I think of Craig Berube in Toronto, right? I mean, he's lived it. He's been down the road. He's getting peppered left, right, and center by the media here in Toronto. And he just brushes it off. It doesn't matter. Like, he'll answer the question, but sometimes he doesn't. But he doesn't lose sleep over the pestering media. He doesn't. And it feels like that's what Vancouver needs.
Talking about coaches, there was a heated exchange last night between Jim Montgomery and Scotty Arneal. Scotty Arneal was livid at the start of the second period, going off on the referees because Shifley got hit a few times. One was a high hit by Braden Shen.
Yeah.
It went 2 minutes for interference, not unpenalized. And then Montgomery decided to break it down and say, well, that's not the hit that hurt Shifley. That was the facts I hit. And they went at it. So...
yeah.
Where are we on all that today with the, first of all, the Montgomery comments that seem to have crossed the line in how he approached it?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have liked it if I were the coach or general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Like, normally you don't dive into that sort. Like, he's making a medical assessment of an opposing team's player. But we also know why he was doing it. It was pure politicking. He didn't know for sure that the Department of Player Safety wasn't going to do a deep dive on that Braden Shen hit. Yeah. Maybe they come to the determination that, okay, one more time, Braden Shen left his feet, right? I mean, they may have looked at that. Monty probably saw it before he did his media avail. So he's a sharp cat, man. He's just playing the game and delivering the message to the media. Nothing to see here. Nope, it wasn't about that. It was the facts I hit. All right. And frankly, I know Scott Arneal pretty well. He's not wired that way.
No.
He's a calm guy, but below the surface, super competitive, very protective, and protects everything at all costs. So in the heat of the moment, and look, he would have the information, maybe not the final evaluation on Mark Scheifele. We'll learn more about that, or maybe we won't, but they'll learn more about where he's at later today. That would bug me too. Just stay in your lane, Monty. That would have been my message.
Arnie had this like heart in his throat when he was talking after the game. He was on the verge of tears. And I loved it. I loved Arnie. He was here like a couple of years as an assistant. He was awesome. And players love him. But he was the heart right there in his throat trying to speak after the game last night.
When those wires touch, man, look out. But I'm telling you, top to bottom, the Jets, they're white hot as an organization. They're leading in the series. They can close it out in game six. All right, let's see how it plays out. But we don't know that arguably their best player, one of their top players, obviously, in Shifley, is going to be available. And they feel like he's been targeted all series long. And the refs probably haven't paid as close attention to it.
Are the Panthers even better than people thought? And are they more directly on a line to a repeat now?
I mean, just I think Cooper put it well last night postgame after being eliminated. And talked about how there's a nastiness in how Florida plays that if you can stay on that line, That's what winning in the playoffs is all about. Mm-hmm. And everybody has to buy into it. And man, do they have that in Florida. They do. So yeah. How can you argue the fact that, of course, they could defend mm-hmm. as long as their health is intact with all of their key players? But it always seems like they embrace that next man up mentality more than anyone. And I look at, okay, well, tonight it's Sam Bennett and it's Reinhardt. No, Marchand has a couple of points there. Barkov's doing this and they're back in. it's virtually endless how they can beat you. And so now, if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, or the Ottawa Senators, probably more Toronto because they've lived sure. it before, right? You know, Ottawa's working with house money and they're a real good team and they're playing terrific right now. And I have no prediction going into game six of the Battle of Ontario tonight. But if I'm Toronto,
get off the fence.
I know. Well, look, I mean, if Toronto loses game six, they'll lose game seven. I mean, that's just the way it's going to go. I mean, if their top guys don't show up, that's the way it is. But Toronto has to be looking at how Florida just dispatched the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so many of the experts picked Tampa Bay to win that series. I didn't. Not saying I knew anything.
Looking at you,
more.
Marty.
Yeah, Marty. I know I did. At
Florida
like
Button, is
all these top dogs.
Florida is that friend that when you played Mortal Kombat at the old PlayStation, knew exactly the code to have to finish them, and then the splattering of the blood and everything. I never knew the Leafs don't know the code. They're like just trying to finish, and they can't get the code working.
I'm trying to push Jeff. O'Dog O'Neill's buttons today, and I don't think he's going to take the bait, but I sent him a YouTube link this morning to, you remember, Austin Matthews' historic debut where he scored four against the Ottawa Senators, and I mean, he was just a dog and a bone, man. He was like driving the net, and he was doing this and shooting the puck and scoring from everywhere. I'm like, roll that out for our pregame coverage tonight. Just get Leafs Nation fired right up. I don't know. He's debating. I don't know if he'll take the bait, but we'll see.
Really? There's no response from him?
He responded, but it was more about giving Florida credit and all the guys that contribute and Toronto having to steal that page.
Well, let me remind everyone that Matthews did score four in his debut against Ottawa, and they still lost the game. Darren, we'll see you next week. Thank you. We're back.
All right.
After
maybe
this.
We'll have more news next week. Let's hope for it. In the meantime, enjoy the playoffs, guys.
Yes. Yep. Thanks, Dregs. We're back after this on Sabres Live.